You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, August 25th, 2025. Grandpa Dan with you at RadioAlbion.com. It is Monday once again, and you know what that means. It's time for the Daily Mail Monday installment of the Daily Nationalist, where we take a look at several select stories from the Daily Mail, minus stories about the royal family or various celebrities. So getting right into it, we're going to start right off, and this is big news. This happened over in Holland. Girl 17 is stabbed to death while calling cops to report being followed on her bike ride home in Holland as cops arrest asylum seeker who raped woman days earlier. I really wish they would learn to have shorter headlines. We don't need the whole story in the headline. A wave of national fury has swept Holland following the arrest of an asylum seeker for the killing of a 17-year-old who was stabbed to death while she was calling the police to report being followed on her bike ride home. The lifeless body of Lisa was discovered by police in a roadside ditch in the early hours of Wednesday morning. She was returning from a night out with friends before she was attacked by a man who also had a bicycle with him while she was phoning the emergency police number. The main suspect in the case, a 22-year-old male asylum seeker, was arrested 4 days ago for a rape in Amsterdam on August 15th and allegedly assaulted a third woman 5 days earlier. So, this guy was arrested for rape, let out, assaulted a third woman. And finally, we have a culmination of a stabbing. He's still in the country. They let him loose. They still expect everybody to pretend that these are just they're trying to follow legalisms. It's their respect for the law in places like Holland, where they're just trying to give these people a fair hearing. We just can't. I saw a story, and I don't have it here, but I saw a story over the weekend that they're having a bit of a hubbub in Britain because people are, you know, hoisting British flags and St. George flags. And, you know, some people are pushing back saying this is evil. This is racist. This flag hoisting is a part of protesting against the government's policies. And of course, all of these countries are democracies. So we know these protests and these complaints from the citizenry are going to do absolutely no good. In all of these countries, year after year after year, you have this sort of thing go on and the government just keeps doubling down on the same policy. And yet everybody's supposed to believe in this representative democracy, that these governments are representative of the will of the people. They're just trying to follow the rule of law. Meanwhile, they twist the law how it pleases them when it comes to political opposition and persecution of people critical of government policies. How long are people? This attacks the very legitimacy of these governments. You know, and it doesn't matter. This case is in Holland. Doesn't matter if it's in Britain. It's the same thing. The government officials will come out and wring their hands and talking about, oh, well, we're going to try to do better. And they just keep letting more of these people in. Why was a 22-year-old guy? Why was this guy even in the country? Under what auspices, under what justification was this guy in the country? The violent murder of the teenager has triggered widespread outrage and a nationwide Reclaim the Night campaign after a Dutch actress and author wrote a poem that went viral about Lisa's final moments of cycling home. That's going to do a lot of good. You know, and don't get me wrong, I want to make sure I'm not making light of this young woman's death. I'm not. But how many nationwide reclaim the night? What the hell does that even mean? You're going to go out and march around in the streets and say the night belongs to us. And then go, things will just keep going right back. Your government's policies aren't going to change. You're going to get more of the same. In a place like Holland, anywhere in Western Europe, the one thing they're not going to discuss is who's perpetrating this. You know, maybe we have a bit of a problem here. If nationalists were out in the street talking about we need to send these people back, I have to wonder how many people in these protests that we're seeing, these take back the night protests, they would be out in the streets protesting against the nationalists saying these people have to go back. We need mass deportation. We need to quit messing around. We need to just take them all and send them back and be done with it. These same people would be out in the streets. And yet they want to pretend they're doing something and they want to pretend they're doing something without actually doing it. See, these are the type of protests you're not going to really see a crackdown from the government because they know nothing's going to change of it. These aren't an actual threat to the power. These are just people out venting steam. The government has no problem with that. Now, people in the streets protesting for actual change, demanding that the government be held accountable for their policies and their decisions that are literally killing people. Make no mistake, this is what they don't want you talking about. This is what all this talk about. It was a man. And they'll even go ahead and say, well, he was a migrant and he raped another woman who I guess was lucky to get away with her life that time. The one thing I want you talking about is this young woman died as a result of her government's policies. There's no sugarcoating that. Her government's policies allowed this guy in the first place, allowed this guy to hang around while they went through this show, this theater of legalisms, when he had no right to be, in the country. Can you imagine having this idea now, this modern idea, that anyone in the world has a right to walk into your country and claim asylum and that they should be able to stay there? It's absurd on his face. People have pointed out multiple times how many countries this guy supposedly had to flee to find safety. These countries they're coming from are thrilled to death with these policies because they're allowed to expel their garbage. Their criminal element leaves and they don't have to deal with it anymore. And you can't blame them. You've got these other countries that want to bring them in. They just like, send us all your criminal and your degenerate filth. We'll take them. Sure. They're going to take you up on that deal. This young woman died because of her government's policies. The guy had no reason to be there. If this guy wasn't there, he would not have done that. It's that plain and simple. And if you point that out, though, you probably could be in danger violating some sort of ridiculous hate crime speech law or something. You see, they don't care if you're having a march about we're taking back the night. No, you're not. Just give you the illusion that you're empowered. You see, we're going out in the streets. This young woman called the police and it took them 45 minutes. By the time they arrived, she was dead. So the government let this guy in and failed to protect this young woman. Why do you have a government? What is the purpose? I mean, what exactly? If you're in Holland, ask yourself, what's your government accomplishing here? Why are you paying taxes to these assholes? I mean, what are you getting out of it? They're importing invaders. This is literally. If a country sent their soldiers in, I guess as long as they had them leave their arms at the border, they could just march in, take the country over, because that's what you're seeing in all these countries. And the governments are in on it. They got no problem with it. So why have them? They're not protecting you from invaders. They're not coming in and protecting you from crime. I mean, what are they doing? You know, you pay taxes. These people are allegedly running your country. You're supposed to be getting something in exchange for it. Exactly what? You know, what are you getting out of it? This is just to make a point, something I said earlier, and we're going to move on from this story. We got other stories to do. You know, I said if nationalists were in the streets, these same people protesting about taking back the night would be in protest against them. There's a picture here accompanying this article. I may use it. I may or may not use it. We'll see. I haven't decided yet. I may use it for the photo for this show. And the caption for the picture says, "Participants in a weekly protest march against femicide in Rotterdam. where the activists want to raise awareness of the problem of domestic violence. You know, see, the problem is men. And they got signs here, male violence against women. You see, this guy was just a man. He could have been any man. He could have been a, you see, it has nothing to do with him just being from these other places. Could have been any man. Well, we got more happenings here. Trump escalates military takeover of D.C. as troops are now allowed lethal weapons as he plots expansion to more crime-ridden cities. National Guard troops directly answering to President Donald Trump are now armed with guns in the streets of Washington, D.C. The Trump administration is doubling down on his crime crackdown in the Capitol by empowering the troops with service-issued weapons. A spokesperson for the National Guard told the Washington Post, some troops now carry guns, including M4 carbine rifles and M17 pistols. Cameras captured troops on Sunday marching across the heart of Washington near the metro stations and the National Mall with guns to their side. The Guard stated members are allowed to use of force only as a last resort and solely in response to an imminent threat of death or serious bodily harm. A White House official told Washington Post that the troops will continue protecting federal assets, including officers, providing a safe environment for officers to make arrests if needed, and providing a visible law enforcement presence to deter crime, as they have been since the operation began. Trump wants to replicate this military takeover in other Democratic cities infested with crime. Last week, the president said he was considering sending troops into Chicago and New York to conduct a similar crackdown operation. This is martial law. Now, they start in Washington, D.C., and if you don't live in America, in the U.S., you know, you may not understand. Washington, D.C. is kind of unique. It doesn't belong to any particular state. It's kind of a little federal enclave thing. So I think my understanding, and that's limited, admittedly so, but, you know, it's kind of a little gray area there because it doesn't belong. It doesn't fall under the jurisdiction of an actual state because it is a federal thing. That's why they have a separate, you know, they don't have representatives, you know, like the same kind of congressional representation as a state does. It's like a little federal enclave. So it's kind of a gray area. But now they're talking about expanding this into other states. Now, crime has admittedly gone down. You know, I think they had like their first week without a murder. You know, the Democrat mayor is trying to say, oh, well, we had crime well under control. And everybody knows that's bullshit. Nobody's going to say why it's a crime infested shithole. But this is where we continue. Again, more theater. We're doing this theater, just like in Holland with our previous story in Europe and Britain. They do this theater where they pretend the problem is men. It's not the government's asylum policy. It's not the fact that they're bringing these other people in from other parts of the world. Here in the U.S., we pretend it's Democrat policies. I'm doing quote fingers here. Democrat policies are the reasons for the crime. We have to ignore the racial demographics of what's going on here. Now, you know, now they're talking about expanding this. It's real tempting for people to look at this and applaud. And I'm sure the, you know, the people that are basically have a cult mentality when it comes to Donald Trump think this is great. And people are, you know, you've got the fatigue. You see, everything, we're inundated with manipulation, you know, from all ends. I mean, you have this obvious left-wing manipulation that's kind of, you know, stupid. But we have to understand that it goes way deeper than that. You have this fatigue. Look, they can not talk about the racial element of crime all they want to, but you know, there's people talking about the fatigue when it comes to this. They're just fatigued with them, with the people that are doing these crimes. Now, he sends in this, and again, he basically is, this is martial law. You know, they're not really calling it that, but that's what it is. And the crime goes down. Well, understandably so. For starters, this doesn't actually solve anything. Yes, it does in the short term. Now, of course, crime is going to go down. You put the army on the street, crime is going to go down. But now you're faced with two choices. You either leave the military on the streets permanently. So you have permanent martial law. Or at some point you say, well, we fixed it. And you take them off the street. Well, as soon as you take them off the street, everything's going to go back where it was. So it doesn't actually fix anything. Now, again, the cult people will sit here and applaud this, say, but see, Trump's doing some. He's stopping the crime. He putting the military on the street. We're fatigued with these people doing all this criminal stuff. But you're normalizing, what you're doing here is you're normalizing the idea of martial law. You know, who's it going to be used against next? You know, that's what you always got to be looking for. The government never winds anything down and rolls it back. It always expands. You look at things that started with 9/11. You know, have they rolled any of that back? No. So you look at this and you got martial law on the streets now. And that's being normalized. Of course, they're starting it with Washington, D.C., because you kind of have a gray area. It doesn't belong to a state jurisdiction. And see, now they're already talking about going to other Democrat cities. But are they going to stop there? You get a push from this direction and everybody applauds it on that side. And then when they push it back the other way. What this is a normalization of martial law. That's what they're doing. They're normalizing the idea of martial law in the minds of the people. Look, the fact that crime is out of control in these cities, and it is, you know, you can't pretend these mayors trying to come out and act like, oh, well, we don't need the military here. We got crime well under control. Look, you're not fooling anybody with that bullshit. Everybody knows crime is out of control. This is an admission, as we were talking about with the previous story. The government is failing in any sort of their expected duties. You're supposed to protect the country. You're supposed to keep things in order, you know, relatively safe in your society. And they're not doing that. People will point to this and say, we got to send the military in. That's what Trump's got to do. These cities are out of control. But it's an admission. It's a tacit admission that the government has failed to do their job. It's an utter failure when you're down to sending the army in. And again, I don't think this is about cracking down on crime. Was crime, put it this way, in Trump's first term, was crime less in these places? No. This is not about a crackdown on crime. At least I don't believe so. This is normalizing, as I said, normalizing martial law in the minds of the people. You're making this normal. See, it's shocking. This is in the news right now. If it spreads out, and I think it probably will, it becomes normalized and people will applaud it. Even run-of-the-mill leftists, you know, they may grumble about the evil orange man, but if they can get on the subway and not worry about being stabbed or some guy, you know, whipping his dingus out and taking a piss on him while they're trying to sit there, deep inside, they're going to actually be kind of grateful for it. It's a normalization. But again, the government always expands its reach. It expands its power. Sure, crime rates are going down now, but what else is this going to be used for? When people start protesting things they don't like that the government's doing, I'm talking about actual, you know, organic protesting, not this AstroTurf left-wing bullshit that they roll out every few years. I'm talking, you know, if you get actual organic protests against the government, for instance, for supporting Israel's genocide policy against the Palestinians, for providing these weapons, for supporting Israel and basically the fact that the U.S. government is just in your face, owned and operated for Israel, for the benefit of Israel. If you start actually getting people, well, you've already got the military on the streets. The military, it's great. The military is being used about, you know, to get these blacks under control in these crime-ridden black cities. And then when you're on the streets saying, I don't agree with MAGA, I voted for MAGA. And then the army shows up and says this is an unlawful assembly. Starts cracking heads. Maybe it isn't such a great idea after all then. You see, this is normalizing it. And they're not going to roll it back. They never roll it back. They never just keep it on a narrow focus. There's always mission creep. People are trying to convince themselves this is a temporary measure to get things back under control. But again, if that's the case, it doesn't solve anything, because at some point the army goes home and everything just goes right back where it was. The people doing these crimes haven't disappeared. They're just staying home for now, waiting for them to leave, and then they'll go right back doing what they do. So it doesn't solve that. So what are they doing? What is this about? And again, I believe it's about normalizing martial law in the people's minds. And now, even if they roll some of this back, for the cameras, it's been normalized. So the next time they roll it out, again, if you have people protesting government policies, whether it's about Israel or anything else, they roll the army back out and everybody's used to it now. It's not so shocking. People get fatigued of this criminal behavior. They get fatigued of being lectured to about, you're an evil person if you complain about it. They get fatigued with the whole mess. And then the army comes in and brings some order and everybody applauds it. And nobody stops to think, what's the next step then? At what point are the army's guns going to be pointed at you? Speaking of this sort of theater, I'm not going to spend much on this next story, but it's just such an American thing. And I said I might use that other photo earlier. I don't know. I may use this one. this photo is just begging for a "if you only knew how bad things really are" caption. ICE arrest photo from San Diego goes viral for very cheeky reason. A picture of a recent arrest made by an Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent is going viral for a peculiar reason. ICE San Diego shared the photo of a female officer arresting an illegal Mexican immigrant, 42-year-old Diego Hernandez, on Saturday morning. In the photo, the officer's back is turned to the camera and her hair is flicked over her shoulder. She didn't arrest anybody. Look, they're in the jail. She's posing for this picture. This is what is traditionally referred to as a photo op. This is clickbait. And I'm probably going to use the clickbait myself for the show. In the photo, the officer's back is turned to the camera, showing her ass. This is where we're getting to with if you're slow on the uptake and didn't get the cheeky references here. Her hair is flicked over her shoulder. She wears a federal agent vest and black slacks. And I had to look close. I don't think you could call these slacks. They're not those, granted, they're not those springy spandexy, or as I like to refer to them as, whore pants, but we're pretty damn close. The post itself has racked up almost 28 million views. This is how thirsty people are. 28 million views in less than 2 days, and sparked accusations that the agency was staged the photo for clicks. Well, no shit, you think? Am I effing crazy, or is this them trying to humiliate a random immigrant and using an ICE agent's fat, delicious ass to make sure it gains attraction? One Twitter user asked. Well, it's working. If I renounce my citizenship, does that mean they will send her to my house asking for a friend? Another joked. A third added, anyone have the federal agent's at? I just got to say, Diego Hernandez, the Mexican immigrant in the picture, his face kind of says my face. I have that same facial expression every day on this sort of nonsense. He has the same look on his face that I do. This is where she arrested him. She totally arrested him. Yeah, it's 28 million views. This is where people are. This is very serious policy stuff going on here. And then theater. This is all. This is all theater, and people are lapping it up. They really are. People go. People be thirsty out there. I want to wrap up. I got another story here, and this. This is just a lesson. Look, old people, act your age. This is a warning. Old people, act your age. Horror as female friends in their 80s enjoying a girl's trip got stuck in a hot tub that started cooking them alive. It's not a girl's trip. You are old. There's no girls involved here. These are geriatrics. These are old people. A group of female friends in their 80s almost died after getting stuck in a hot tub during a getaway, with the temperature of its water making them seriously ill. The trouble began after the unidentified friends booked a vacation to the remote wilderness of Campton in Wolf County, deep in the Appalachian Plateau of eastern Kentucky. You have to say it that way, by the way, Kentucky. On spotting the hot tub, the friends decided to get in to relax after a busy day of catching up. But disaster soon struck. Look, when you're in your 80s, disaster going to strike at any time. You could get up out of your chair and disaster could strike. You could be at the grocery store pushing your cart and misstep and break a hip. When you're in your 80s, disaster's waiting to strike you at every turn. When you wake up in the morning, you're looking at a day of disaster waiting to strike. Getting in the hot tub, that was just like, this is a good idea. But you see, you have this mindset. It's a girls' weekend. We're having a girls' weekend. You know, girls. You know, what are they talking? After spending some time catching up, these young lasses decided, hey, let's go for a dip in the hot tub. Catching up on what? Let me tell you, when you're in your 80s, hell, forget in your 80s. I'm not even in my 60s yet. And I'm already like, when I talk to people my age, it turns into doctor talk. They did some catching up. What kind of catching up did these women in their 80s do? I can guarantee you their catching up was they were talking about what they're doing, what kind of treatments they're getting from the doctor. Oh, well, I had to go. Well, you know, I had this wrong with my colon. Oh, well, you know, I had the cancer. And all of that. This is all they're talking. Catching up. What kind of catching up are you doing in your 80s on a girls' weekend out? All they're doing is getting together and talking about their various doctor visits. What kind of medications, what their prescriptions are, how much Medicare, what Medicare policies are you using? What the hell else are women in their 80s catching up about? They're catching up on the latest gossip. They're catching up on their health problems. And then they look over here at a hot tub and say, you know, we just spent, I don't know, hours talking about all of our health issues and going to the doctor. Because again, that's all an 80-year-old's got going on. They're not. And then they look at the hot tub and say, let's go for a dip. What could go wrong? Two of the women could not get out of the tub. I'm sorry. It's funny. It is funny. It's not funny. Somebody's in danger, I guess. But I mean, come on. I'm not going to pretend it isn't funny because it's not politically correct to do so. Two of the women could not get out of the tub. Look, even if the tub wasn't hot, they couldn't get out. Two of the women could not get out of the tub because of pre-existing health issues. So they had a bad hip or whatever their pre-existing health issues. When you're in your 80s, the list is long. So even if the water wasn't hot, they got in there basically knowing they couldn't get back out. And they started overheating to a point where they became hyperthermic, according to the Wolf County Search and Rescue Team. They had to send search and rescue team to go pull these old ladies out of the hot tub. Because, you know, the hot tub was hot. Long story short, they drugged these old ladies. Somebody finally drugged these old ladies out of the hot tub and sprayed cold water all over them and took them outside. Got them cold, got them cooled down. Maybe they won't do that again. I don't know. You know, I always find it humorous. Stories like this getting written like it's a natural disaster. You know, like they were staying at this place and a tornado struck or some shit. No, this is all self-inflicted. This is, you know, again, people down on me because it'd be like, man, you're making fun of old people getting stuck in a hot tub, getting bullied like a bunch of crabs. But this is 100% self-inflicted. They got in there knowing, some of them got in there knowing that they had bad hips. They couldn't crawl back out, but they got in anyway. Had to call search and rescue. Well, they didn't have to do much searching. They were right there. They were right there. They didn't need search and rescue. They didn't have to search. They're right there. Boiling like lobsters. Passing out. This is self-inflicted. Again, I'm not mean to be coarse and callous, making fun of old people. But I mean, good night. Act your age. You're having a girls' weekend out. You're in your 80s. There are no girls involved. You're old. Did any of these old ladies look and go, I ain't getting in that thing. I can't get back out. No, we're going to just get in there anyway. Just pretend we're still young. We might feel great. Whenever there's like flooding, they're flash flooding. And these dumbasses drive off into like an obviously flooded, like there's a creek running across the road. And you always inevitably have these dumbasses drive off in it. And then search and rescue has to come and find them and fish them out. And you'll have people that'll be like, those people should be charged. If not criminally charged, they should literally be charged for the cost of rescuing. In fact, some of the cities have got laws on the books where they do that. They'll charge you. If you're dumbass, if you drove off into an obvious area that's flooded and they got to come rescue, they're going to send you a bill for the rescue. Because it's accepted that that's self-inflicted, that you're being a dumbass. Well, how is this any different? You know? Yeah, you want to be sympathetic. These people are old and you don't want to ridicule the elderly. But you know, they made this decision. This is a self-inflicted thing. And they had to send search and rescue out to poor cold water. It could have been a disaster. Thank you, Daily Mail, for providing these humorous stories to us. And let this be a lesson. If you're in the 80s, don't crawl off in the bloody hot tub, because you could get boiled. You could get boiled alive and not be able to get back. Act your age. Good night. You know, I don't understand why people are so hesitant to accept getting old. You know? I mean, I'm a Gen Xer. And I got no problem. I tell people like I'm old. I tell people now I'm old. Even though I'm not even in my 60s yet. And I'll tell people, I'll describe it as, I mean, look, I'm an old man, you know. I went into a vape shop here recently. Just an example of this. Little antidote here. Antidote. I went in the vape shop recently, and one of the younger women working the vape shop. I'm buying some vape juice. That's all I go in there for. One of the younger women working there, she comes popping up with, I don't know, some kind of synthetic weed-looking shit or something. I don't know what it is. And she's like, do you want some of this? I'm like, what the hell? Oh, it's this, I don't know, whatever hell term they had for it. And I just literally looked at her, and I'm like, I'm old. Do I look like I want some shit like that? I just tell people, I'm old. You know, do I look like the dope man? No, I'm not the dope man. I'm old. And when I'm 80, I damn sure ain't dragging my ass in no hot tub. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you have a great week. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday with the Orthodox Nationalist. And as always, Dr. Johnson wraps our week up on Thursdays with his installment of the Daily Nationalist. So I hope you'll get a chance to check out all our content this week here on Radio Albion. I hope you have a great, productive work week. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.